Our New Testament reading continues our study of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We will be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, which can be found in the Pew Bible on page 1030. The last main section of Jesus' teaching set forth a righteousness that was greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus raised the bar of godly living. He taught that it is not just about external actions, the things we do or don't do. The righteousness that God desires has to do with the condition of our heart. The commandment against murder is broken, not just by the act itself, but when we harbor hatred in our heart for another. God's standard for purity is violated long before a physical act of adultery occurs. And it isn't enough to simply love those who love us. We must also love our enemies and turn the other cheek. This is the level of righteousness that we, as disciples of Jesus, are called to pursue and to exemplify. And his standard is much higher than the one that we would set for ourselves. His standard is challenging. And so Jesus' sermon convicts us all. In our passage today, Jesus continues the theme of practicing righteousness by offering a warning that has to do with the motivation of our hearts. So we are in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning with the first verse. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jesus said to beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. But what's the point of doing something good if nobody's watching? That's a question that Nicole Kidman once famously asked, and it's one that we can relate to because our deep-seated desire for affirmation. We all crave affirmation from others. That's why social media is such a big hit. If you do something great, shouldn't you post about it on Facebook? What's the point of doing something good if no one knows about it? It's like the old thought experiment. If a tree falls in a forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? The answer, of course, depends on your definition of sound. Does it have to be perceived to exist? In other words, is sound only sound if a person hears it? And some would say yes. But scientifically speaking, a fallen tree will produce sound waves that could be measured by a recording device, which proves that human ears are not necessary for the sound to exist. Mystery solved. But to go back to Nicole Kidman's question, you might ask, is a good deed only good if it can be perceived by another person? And within a secular worldview, that is not an easy question to answer. Some would find it pointless to do something good if there is no one to appreciate it. Others might feel like the usefulness depends on how it makes you feel. But from a Christian worldview, it is a very simple question to answer. In fact, Jesus answered the question multiple times in our passage. He said that your Father in heaven, the Lord, sees you in secret, and he will reward you. So whether a human is there to perceive your good deed or not, Jesus made it clear that your Father in heaven sees it, and he will reward you. And so practicing your righteousness before God is never in vain, whereas practicing your righteousness before others can be, which is what Jesus is warning about. And the warning that Jesus gives is put simply in verse 1. It is like a thesis statement that is then developed over the next 18 verses. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Now, this is not to say that you should never practice your righteousness before other people. In fact, doing so can be of great benefit for others. I mean, Jesus said in the same sermon, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, did Jesus contradict himself? No, not at all. He is addressing two different situations based on two different attitudes of the heart. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, what is our motivation? Why do we do good deeds? Are we doing them so that others will see our good works and give glory to God, which is commended? Or are we doing good deeds in public so that people will give glory to us? It is that self-seeking attitude which Jesus is addressing. And to refer to these people, Jesus calls them hypocrites, a word based on the Greek theatrical word that means actor, or to play a part. And he uses this word because, you know, despite what other people thought of them, in Jesus' view, the hypocrites were not exemplary in piety. They were merely pretending to be righteous in the same way that an actor would play a part. For example, when giving to the needy, they would go out to the crossroads in public spaces where there would be large crowds of people, lots of witnesses to see them give to the needy. And since that wasn't enough, they would even sound a trumpet to draw attention. And they might have claimed that it was to attract the poor to them, but it was really about being noticed. It was outlandish, but not unique to that time. You know, plenty of people today like to draw attention to their giving. And their reward is the praise of the people. And that's why they do it. That's what they get. And they shouldn't expect any further reward from God. Now, in contrast to the hypocrites, Jesus instructs us to give in secret. And he uses strong imagery, hyperbolic even, saying, "Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Now, does he mean that we should always give anonymously every single time? Should we put on a robe and a mask to conceal our identity and sneak around like some sort of giving ninja, leaving behind unmarked bills for the needy to discover and wonder where they came from? It wouldn't be wrong to do that. That's what St. Nicholas did. Though I suppose he wasn't too sneaky, since the whole world knows about his secret giving. But that raises another question. Should we be disappointed if someone caught us being generous, as if we lost our heavenly reward because we were discovered to be charitable? No. That's not the point that Jesus is making. We don't need to interpret him literally here. It would be impossible for your left hand to not know what your right hand is doing unless it was severed from your body. Jesus' concern is not about secrecy as much as it is about our motivation. Do we give to the needy so that people will think that we are good people? You know, do we do it to be seen and esteemed? Or do we give to the needy because God gives to the needy, and we are to be imitators of God, and in so doing, God will be pleased? If that's why you give, then Jesus is assuring you that God will see you, that he will be pleased with you and reward you even if no one else does. And Jesus then made the same point with prayer. Prayer should not be done to draw attention to yourself. That's what the hypocrites would do. They'd stand up in crowded locations to be seen and heard. Their audience is not God. It's people. And their reward is the fleeting opinion of those people. What we are instructed to do instead is shut the door in our room and pray in secret. And there are examples of this in Scripture. You know, Elijah, before healing the widow's son, shut himself in his room and prayed. And God answered his prayer. And Jesus would often sneak away from his disciples to pray by himself. When we pray in secret, we are rewarded by our Heavenly Father who sees us in secret. But what about public prayer? Is Jesus condemning it? No. Or we'd be in trouble already. We've already done it. You know, Jesus often prayed before people. And the very words of one of his prayers is preserved in John chapter 17. And he also taught that when two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with them. He said that in the context of prayer. Because of that, as Christians, we regularly pray with other people, whether it's a Sunday school class, worship service, committee meeting, before a meal. It is not wrong to pray with other people. What we are warned about is having the wrong motive. We shouldn't try to impress others with our prayers, whether by the vocabulary we use or the sheer number of topics we manage to cover in a single prayer. You know, it also means that we shouldn't be nervous about praying publicly, because that's a sign that we are concerned about what other people think instead of what God thinks. Don't stress, just pray. The effectiveness of prayer is not dependent on us or the words we use. As Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But then you might wonder, well, what is the point of prayer if God already knows what you need? And in the words of John Calvin, he said, the faithful do not pray to tell God what he does not know, or urge him to his duties, or hurry him on when he delays, but rather to alert themselves to seek him, to exercise their faith by meditating upon his promises, unburdening their cares by lifting themselves into his bosom, and finally to testify that from him alone all good for themselves and for others is hoped and asked. In other words, praying is a discipline that helps us turn our concerns and cares over to God. It has nothing to do with impressing other people. You don't need carefully crafted sentences. You simply need a heart that trusts your Father to take care of your needs. And it is better to pray by yourself in a closed room than to pray like the hypocrites who do it merely as a show to look holy, because their prayers don't extend any farther than the human ears of their audience. Now, the affirmation of other people will never satisfy our soul's longing. We can only be truly satisfied by the Lord. So how do we get from here to there? How do we change our motivation from practicing our righteousness to impress others to practicing our righteousness to bring glory to God? First, we need an honest appraisal of our own righteousness, because our best deeds are not that impressive. Our giving comes from what God has first given us. We give out of our abundance. And our prayers aren't something to be proud of. We shouldn't boast in our prayers. We should surrender our will to the Lord's. If we were to count all our deeds, our unrighteous deeds would outweigh our righteous ones, both in number and in gravity. And the wages of sin, the reward for sin, according to the Bible, is death. That is the reward we have earned for ourselves. But even if we perfectly obeyed God, would that make us pinnacles of righteousness? Not exactly, because we would simply be doing what God requires of us, not more. To have a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees, to have a righteousness that merits eternal life, we need the righteousness that belongs to Jesus. And thankfully, his righteousness is freely offered to us through faith. By believing in him and trusting in him alone for salvation, we are united to Christ and clothed in his righteousness. And the more that we believe this, that we need to be clothed in Christ's righteousness and not our own, then the less we will be concerned about displaying our own righteousness to impress other people, because we will know that it's not impressive or valuable. Only Christ's is. So let us do good, not to impress other people, but to bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father, who will reward us out of his grace. And know that our good deeds always have a point, even when no one is watching, because when we do them for our Heavenly Father, he not only sees our good deeds, but will reward us for them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the righteousness of Jesus that belongs to us through faith. Help us strive in obedience to you, not so that we can impress others, but so we can please you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.